But this whole storyline of Natasha Cloud versus Phoenix, popcorn. Like, it's drama.
That's good.
What's up, nerds? It's basketball. Welcome to Horse, a basketball podcast about everything except for the wins and losses. My name is Mike Schubert, and I'm joined by my trusted co-host. The season of the NBA ending to a bunch of teams deciding to fire their coach right before the playoffs begin. It's Adam Amawala. Adam, how's it going?
Yeah, I mean, you expect the flurry of firings like right after the regular season ends for teams that didn't make the playoffs, like we saw, you know, in Phoenix. But the fact that it happened to multiple competing teams that are like right in the thick of it, very surprising stuff.
Right. It's almost as if the Grizzlies doing it first kind of let people know, like, oh, we can do this. That's right. Allowed. Ooh, yeah. Ooh. And then, of course, you have your classic end of season. We're not in the playoffs. We were a disappointment firings, but that's a whole other thing. So we'll get into that in full court press. We've got a lot of stuff to cover. So let's get ready for full court press in the Teal Memorial locker room, where the people are respected and the staff is not getting fired at the last minute.
That's good. That's good. It's important to be professional.
Yeah, you know who else is professional?
I would say our patrons.
Our patrons. Shout out to our patrons. We've got a whole bunch of them, and shout out especially to our producer-level patrons, Polly Burridge, Salvatore Testa, Siobhan Ellsbury, Don't Go Chasing Taco Falls, Bang, Bang, Roast Beef Debris, Denver Steam Nuggets, Anna Reed, Steph Curry for three in the play-in.
Bang.
Hi, Allie, Chase Underulo, Naked Rachel, Sidney Crosby is a Vampire, Chelsea's Cousin, Ginger Spurs Boy, Balls to the Walls, Mats Furley, and Utah Jash. And you know who else is helping with the professionalism of the pod?
Our sponsor.
It is our sponsor. It's Tab for a Cause. And they're also helping with the world, because with Tab for a Cause, you can go to tabforacause.org/horse and install it. It's a web browser extension. You can install it in just a matter of clicks. And then every time you open a tab, you can help raise money for charity. You'll see a pretty picture of a background of sorts that's either nature or architecture. And then you might see some ads in the corner, but those ads raise money for charity and you can direct what charities they support. It's cool. I've been using it for years. It's awesome. And you can get it at tabforacause, tabforacause.org/horse. Now, unless you're listening on Patreon, where you get access to episodes that don't have inserted ads, it's time for inserted ads. They're locally inserted, so they might be in your country's native language. That might be different from English, depending on where you live. But once those ads are complete, we will continue this episode of Horse. All right, Adam, what's going on in your world?
All right, I'll make a quick shout out to everybody that I met in both Minnesota and in Philly. There were Horse listeners at both of those shows, so shout out to those folks. I know I met Sydney in Minneapolis, and then I met somebody in Philly, and I'm blanking on the name, but thank you very much for coming out. Upcoming stuff. My next bigger headlining thing is in the Boston area, so that's at the Comedy Studio in Cambridge, Mass. That is on Wednesday, May 7th. Then Friday, May 16th and Saturday, May 17th, I will be in Lake Charles, Louisiana, and Tulsa, Oklahoma. Those shows are both with Dane Cook. Then I've got a little Montana run that is May 30th, May 31st, and June 1st. Bozeman, Helena, and Townsend. I'll be in Las Vegas right after that from June 2nd through the 8th. I just added a show at a brewery in New Providence, New Jersey on June 14th. I'll be back in Chicago July 17th through 19th doing some Don't Tell comedy shows, but I am telling you, so I guess I broke the rules. Other than that, I've got Jamestown, New York for the Lucille Ball Comedy Festival. That is August 8th and 9th. Wethersfield, Connecticut, September 12th and 13th, and Bethlehem, PA on September 20th. What about you? I know you are joining us from tour right now.
Yes.
What else do you have going on, and how's it been going?
It's been great. Thanks to everyone who has come to the Midwest shows. Sydney, who went to your show in Minnie, then went to my show in St. Paul, which was super fun.
Love it.
Shout out to everyone who's come. I did the stream show, which was super fun. And I've got new shows coming up. So we're about to make an announcement for a couple of different things. First, I'll be doing two shows in Zurich, Switzerland.
Cool.
At the end of May. So Kelly and I were going there on vacation. I'd been talking to some venues about doing a show. We are making a show happen. And by a show, I mean two. So we're going to do one show on Saturday night on the 24th, and then one on Sunday at like noon on the 25th.
Awesome.
The Saturday night show is at 6 p.m. So if you are traveling from like farther away, you can still potentially go and take the train home. I have to figure out which night is going to be Potterless and which night's going to be the newest Olympian, but that is the plan, and tickets will be up at some point. And also soon, or at least at the time of recording, I'm not sure if these are up by the time you're hearing this, I will be announcing some live show dates around when I'm in St. Louis for Enchanticon. So I will be at Enchanticon. You can see me there. They have posted my schedule, the days that I'm doing stuff, but I'm also going to be doing a live show in St. Louis on August 14th and then Kansas City, Missouri on August 18th. So I don't know if those tickets are live right yet, but just make sure you're following me or my podcasts on social media. You can check out the websites like shub.es/tour, and that'll let you know whenever stuff is live. Only other announcement thing is that I did release a new limited series podcast with my buddy Eric Hamilton Schneider called The Last and the Curious. I never watched the Fast and Furious movies. He's a super fan, and we did a thing where we did one episode per movie. We'd watch the movie and then immediately record an episode with our thoughts, and it was really fun, and you can get the whole thing on the TNO Patreon. Or you can go to the URL that we made for it, which is thelastandthecurio.us. So it's The Last and the Curious, but then the dot separates nice. The O and the US. And you can download the whole thing ad-free for $5. And that's
I love it. And now your family.
Exactly. Gosh, the movies are really fun. They're a really fun time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's all I got. I think we can get into full court press now. Get out like the news.
Yeah, let's do it. No NBQ&A today. We do not have time. So what's going to happen is full court press is going to be very NBA heavy. And then we've got a very fun interview coming up that is very WNBA centric. So for now, we're going to talk about all of the heads that have rolled, all of the coach firings and whatnot. And then we're going to do a quick play-in / playoff preview and see how wrong we're going to get it, because this is going to be a spicy couple of months here.
So we alluded to the coach firings. Let's start with the coach firings. The first one that happened was that Grizzlies Taylor Jenkins one, which I believe we covered in our last episode of Horse, but it just was basically seeming like the ownership didn't really like the coaching situation, so they moved on. After that, we had another late season firing, and this was Michael Malone getting fired from the Denver Nuggets. And not just Michael Malone, but also Calvin Booth, the GM. So seems just like a full clearing of the house. From the reporting that has come out since, it feels very much like behind the doors of the organization, things were getting bad. There were people who were like in the Malone camp, in the Calvin Booth camp. I don't know if the owner group had a camp or if the owners were just like, everyone's being dysfunctional and no one's getting along. Yeah. Everybody get out of here. But it seemed very much like the GM and the coach didn't get along. That was pretty clear after like last offseason, and they were not necessarily saying super nice things. Malone would have all of these little like comments about how the other people in the front office wanted him to play the young guys, and little snide comments about how like the rosters and what they need. So like it feels like people were kind of taking shots at each other. And
it's amazing how quickly things can sour, though. Like we saw it both with the Bucks and Mike Budenholzer, and then with the Nuggets and Michael Malone. Like, these teams just won championships pretty recently, and it seems to still not like garner them that much goodwill. But I guess it's a win now league. So what are you going to do?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things. And this is at least what the ownership group said of why they did this, because they fired Malone. And then technically, I think they just like aren't renewing Calvin Booth's contract because it was up at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And their thought is, we have a championship caliber roster and our coach is not getting the most out of it, so that's why we're firing him before the playoffs, because we think like with a new coach in the mix, maybe he can get the most out of it.
That's a lot to ask out of a new coach, though, without having that kind of continuity, unless people are just like happy to have someone gone.
Right. So that's what also kind of has been trickling out. There was some rumblings and reportings that there were some players upset with Michael Malone playing Russell Westbrook a lot and maybe being a little lenient, because like Russ has been like overall, I think, pretty solid and at least passable for the Nuggets, but he hasn't been like amazing or maybe not as good to like justify all the playing time he's getting. There was stuff where people were like upset that, you know, if a rookie made a mistake, they get pulled and benched, and Russ, they give him more benefit of the doubt kind of stuff. So was there some favoritism there? I don't know. And I would assume that the assistant coach that is now being the interim is someone that maybe the players like. So maybe like the vibes will be better there. But also the Nuggets have been dealing with injuries. Jamal Murray's been hurt and it's been going on for a while. So, you know, like the Nuggets without Jamal Murray, I wouldn't say are a legitimate contender.
Right.
So I don't know how much of that blame you can put on Michael Malone. But also Michael Malone has been really grumpy recently. So I'm not surprised if like the vibes in the locker room aren't great.
Yeah. And he was saying stuff publicly, like during press conferences, about the players basically like not listening to him and not respecting him. So I guess this is not super shocking, but let me tell you one thing. Don't let me dream on Nikola Jokic getting traded to the Bulls. He's already publicly talked about how much he loves Chicago. There's like a huge Serbian population there. Don't let me dream on it, man. I don't know
that that would happen. Not a trade. Maybe like the contract ends and he refuses to resign. Like completely unpredictable. He could retire at any point in time.
You know,
he's one of those guys. But yeah, if it's one of those things where like it's not surprising, but the timing of it is surprising.
Sure.
So that was there. And then we have two, the season is over, we're firing our guys. Firings. First, we've got Mike Budenholzer being fired from the Phoenix Suns. Completely unsurprising. The Suns were the 11th seed, and they have this roster that they were very confident in. They made a lot of trades to put together. I don't think that it's fully Mike Budenholzer's fault because like the pieces just haven't fit. Bradley Beal hasn't worked. He's been hurt. He's been not playing well. They don't have a bench because of all the trades that they made. So lots of stuff going on there. But also, there was some weird Mike Budenholzer stuff, like the whole thing where he like told Devin Booker to not be as vocal on the court, which is strange. So I feel like it was doomed, but he didn't help. So he has been fired. And now this is the third season in a row where the Suns have fired a head coach, I believe immediately the year after bringing them in.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, just think back to not that long ago, the whole Suns in four era where, you know, they're up 2-0 in the finals and you're like, oh my God, they're going to win the championship. And now to see how far they've fallen since then is, it's got to be tough if you're a Phoenix Suns fan for a franchise who's never won the championship before.
Yeah, I think it's hard. I think this is what happens when they got close, they made like some win now, cash all in moves.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out. And it's just so funny that Chris Paul keeps doing this to teams that give up on him because they traded Chris Paul because they're like, oh, he's too old, he's injury prone, whatever. And this season, he played all 82 games.
Yeah.
Yep. Like, if these Suns wave a magic wand and you get to ask them, instead of Bradley Beal this season, you have Chris Paul and all of the pick swaps that you traded away, what would you want? They'd take Chris Paul 100 times out of 100.
Yeah.
So if Chris Paul, even if he doesn't win a ring, I think he will have a legacy of being incredibly beloved. Like weirdly, I think he was someone that was very hated, but I think he's going to have this legacy of being beloved because so many teams are like, if we just would have held on to Chris Paul.
Yeah.
Like the Rockets are like, if we just had Chris Paul. The Thunder, at least they traded him like fully. The plan was just to trade him. So they kind of avoided this, but the Suns will have the like, if we only held on to Chris Paul. The Clippers might even be like, Yeah. There's just so many teams that would have loved to have him. So that was that. Then also the Pelicans made a firing and they fired David Griffin, I believe. And then did they also fire their head coach?
That I'm not sure. But I mean, it was an abysmal year for New Orleans, which is partially because of injuries, but like just really, really bad year.
Yeah, I believe they only fired David Griffin, the GM. And yeah. They do stick with Willie Green, the head coach, but they fired David Griffin. And yeah, I think, you know, we'll get into this when we talk about the drama draft, when we do our thing of like recapping the end of the NBA season drama draft. But yeah, I really do feel like the GM situation was bad. Like the trades haven't worked out recently. And this is one that is like, as opposed to the other firings, which feel like kind of like quick and like out of nowhere, I feel like the Pelicans have just like, from a front office perspective specifically, been a little bit of a mess the past couple of years.
Yeah.
And there's some stuff that doesn't look good. You have Dyson Daniels, you trade Dyson Daniels to the Hawks, and now he's potentially going to win Defensive Player of the Year. Like he's setting records for steals and steals per game and all this kind of stuff. So that's not a good look. The DeJounte Murray trade hasn't necessarily panned out. They extended CJ McCollum. They extended his contract, and that seems kind of weird because he's old and might not fit the timeline. The Zion stuff is always a big question mark. So, like, I think there's enough organizational stuff going on that I think this firing of all the things makes the most sense of, like, yeah, you tried it. You gave him the time. He proved that he couldn't really make the most out of this. Because, like, remember when they made the AD trade and stuff? It was like, oh, baby, the Pelicans were in perfect position. They got all these young guys. They got all these picks. They'd made some other trades with the draft and stuff. Like, they were looking great. And then just kind of fart noise the past couple of years.
Yeah. But what do you say we do a quick recap of where things ended, what we think heading into the play-ins and playoffs?
Yes. Let me pull up a playoff bracket.
I've got it right here. So let's just go through it. So, all right, let's give me your quick play-in pick. So on the West Coast, we've got a very spicy 7-8 matchup. That's the Warriors and the Grizzlies. Who do you like in that game? Warriors have home court.
I would say the Warriors. I know that these two teams have specifically faced each other in the play-in before, and I believe the Grizzlies have come out on top, but I feel like the Warriors, especially the season Warriors, I think they're going to be okay, especially at home.
Yeah, I tend to agree, and then that would set up a matchup against the Rockets. And the West Coast in general, like 3 through 9 or 10, basically, was like all packed in by a couple games. Well, so
that was this whole thing. It was like record-setting in terms of like how close it was, how many teams were within like a game of each other. The tiebreaker mathematics that were going on were ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like the Warriors, because they lost that last game, went from like home court advantage to play-in with one loss, like 4 seed to 7 seed with one loss. It's absurd.
So let's play it out, right? Let's say the Warriors win, then that would mean they play the Rockets, who are the 2 seed. Then the Grizzlies would play the winner of Kings Mavs. Who do you like in Kings Mavs?
Probably Kings. I just don't see the Mavs having the juice for it.
Yeah.
And then who would you say between Kings and Mavs?
I mean, I kind of want the Mavericks to win just because I think the further they get into the playoffs, the more funny it will be. Not that I like want Nico Harrison to be vindicated,
sure,
because I think it's already clear that he's wrong. I probably the Kings, and then I think I would take the Grizzlies over the Kings since the Grizzlies have home court. So then
where I would be.
Yeah, that would mean Thunder Grizzlies as a 1-8, which is a very fun first round matchup. Mm-hmm. Then we would have Rockets Warriors, Lakers Timberwolves, and Nuggets Clippers. I mean, like, there's not a bad matchup out of all of those. That's gonna be really, really fun.
And from our perspective from horse, like, I think now when we get to talking of who's in the first round, we should focus on like the drama and the spice as opposed to the wins and the losses, as titled as our show is.
Yeah.
I feel like with let's go like down just with drama, like the 1-8, it's really just going to be like, can the Thunder prove it, is going to be like the big drama thing to watch.
And what celebrations will Ja Morant do after hitting shots?
Exactly. He has claimed that his grenade thing that he did after getting in trouble for doing the gun thing multiple times was him throwing away his words and covering his ears to not hear what people say, which, to Ja Morant's PR team, round of applause.
Yeah,
well
pretty
done.
Good spin.
Well done.
Good spin.
Well done.
So yeah, I mean, I like the Thunder in that round, but I think that's going to be fun. 2-7. That's ripe for an upset. I mean, the Warriors have been playing really well. Mm-hmm. And it would not surprise me at all if the Rockets get knocked out by the Warriors. Because, again, the Rockets are kind of in the Thunder situation where it's like they had a great regular season, but when it comes down to playing a caliber of team that's won however many championships, 4 championships or whatever, like, are they going to be able to get it done? That's a series that if it is Rockets-Warriors, that's going 7. It's got to.
And the drama for that is going to be that, first off, the Rockets, yeah, they're the 2 seed, but no one believes in them. No one believes in them. Everyone thinks that they're going to get upset at some point. So that's the drama there. And then also the Rockets and the Warriors have a history of not liking each other from the Steph Curry / James Harden eras and all those like mid to late 2010s battles. And I feel like I have Houston Rockets fans that like still hate the Warriors, even though they haven't really been like good at the same time in a while.
Right.
So I feel like that's going to bring up those feelings of hatred, especially Rockets directed towards Steph Curry. Yeah. So
now
I think
Lakers Wolves. I mean, come on now. We've got like old guard versus new guard, LeBron versus Anthony Edwards. Obviously, Luka's in the mix.
Yeah.
You have to think the Lakers have a better chance of winning since they have home court. They actually, I mean, everybody's like within one game of each other, essentially, in terms of regular season. But I don't know. That's a tough one to call.
It's tough.
I would not be comfortable betting on that series.
I don't like to bet at all. Yeah. But I feel like with this one, I think it's really going to come down to like stylistic coaching decisions, because I feel like these two teams are very different. So I think if one coach can out strategize the other coach, then I think is going to be the drama. This is going to be JJ Redick's first time as a playoff head coach. The Lakers now, with their revitalization of Luka, will have a newfound expectations people think they've been playing well, and they have been playing well, so people would think that they should win. And it's funny because even though Luka's on a different team now from a drama perspective, we saw Luka talking mad trash to Rudy Gobert when it was Mavs versus Timberwolves, and they defeated them.
Yes.
So
I think
another drama
the Luka
perspective.
Versus Wolves
the Luka versus Gobert, Luka versus Wolves, I think there will still be some spice there.
And then,
so I think it's going to be a good one.
Final matchup in the West, Nuggets Clippers as the 4 versus 5 Nuggets have home court. Obviously, we just talked about the Nuggets coaching change. I have no idea who to pick in that series.
No, it's weird because I feel like the Nuggets have been like falling from the top and the Clippers have been surging from the bottom.
Yeah.
So I think it's a really fun 4-5. And also, these teams have playoff history. They've played against each other, and there have been like upsets on either side. They face each other in the bubble, in the year after the bubble. Like, there's all sorts of history there. And then, you know, it's going to be like a big thing with the stars. Like, can Jokic do it without Jamal Murray if he's still hurt? Can Kawhi stay healthy and do it? So I think this one's going to be really focused on, like, the key players on each team. And, like, can they bring it? And the drama will come from that. Like, is our guy the guy?
All right, let's quickly go over to the East. So on the East Coast, we've got a deeply boring Magic versus Hawks 7-8.
I would say deeply boring because I have much more confidence in the Magic than the Hawks.
I think the Magic
are kind of fun.
Right. I'm taking the Magic in that one.
Yes.
Bulls Heat, obviously, you know.
I think the Bulls. I think for sure.
Classic play-in team. But the Bulls genuinely have been playing very well. Like, you look at their 100%. Last 20 games, they're like 15-5 or something.
Look, and it's not classic Bulls. They're the 9 seed this year.
They do, yes. They do get one home game. So I'm going to take the Bulls.
I do as well.
You know, if the Bulls have proven anything, it's that they'll like make me believe and then immediately follow that with a complete dud. So like they'll probably lose to the Hawks. But just for fun, I'm going to say the Bulls beat the Hawks and actually get into the playoffs and then, you know, lose to the Cavs. And
let's live in that. I want that to happen. So let's then do the 1-8. That would be Cavs and Bulls.
That has Bulls get one win at the United Center and salvage one game, maybe written all over it. But
and that is where the drama would come in, because if the Cavs, who also no one believes in, if the Cavs lose a single game in the first round,
or if they lose like the first game,
sort of thing. I hope so badly.
It could be kind of like purely that from series, drama. The weird Bulls with like Rajon Rondo and Wade, where like they went up 2-0 on the Celtics that year, and everyone's like, "What the hell is happening?" So, Cavs certainly are gonna beat whoever they play. I think at least in the first round,
100%.
Then we would have Celtics versus the Magic if the Magic win. Again, I think the Celtics take that one pretty handily. 5 games, maybe at the most.
There's, again, the only
West
drama.
Is way more interesting. Yeah.
Yes, I agree. I think the East will become more interesting in the later rounds because of like their top contenders, but in the initial, for sure. But drama-wise, I think the Celtics have the same situation as the Cavs. If they lose a game to the Magic, it'll be like, Tatum doesn't have it.
Yeah. Now, Knicks-Pistons, man, that is a tough, tough matchup. I think, given that the Knicks have home court, I'm confident they can get it done. But Pistons are a good team. They're a gritty team. Cade is a bona fide superstar at this point. Like, that is not going to be an easy series.
No, it won't be easy. And I, though, am excited because I need... If the Knicks are to do anything this season, they will have to get tested. So I would rather them play someone good, because if they do win, they will probably be playing the Celtics. So like, I would rather us like have to beat somebody who's actually good, as opposed to us like cakewalking over, you know, a struggling team that was middling. So for us to actually have to beat a young, hungry team is good.
Yeah, there's a world where like the Knicks win a really tough matchup and the Celtics roll over the Magic and have a couple days off and they come out cold against the Knicks in the next round. So hopefully that happens. I will be rooting for the Knicks in solidarity after I attempt to get up at 4 a.m. to watch the Bulls play-in game if I can find it in Estonia.
Nice.
Pacers-Bucks at the 4-5. Another interesting matchup.
And there's drama. We all remember the stealing the game ball, play-in tournament stuff.
Of course,
like hopefully
that
all comes burbling back up. So the bad vibes are there. With Knicks-Pistons, I don't know if there's like as many like drama things. I think it's just like there's always the chance that Isaiah Stewart tries to fight people.
I predict Charles Oakley returns to the Garden, comes out of the stands, fights Isaiah Stewart.
I think, I don't know if there's like history related drama. There's just like the Pistons are very chirpy and there's always a chance that words or fists are exchanged.
Yeah.
But Bucks Pacers, there is for sure history there. It seems to have cooled over, but playoffs can always reignite. They can always reignite.
Now, we don't have time to go through all the iterations of this, and I'm sure we will in future episodes, but right now, on April 15th, as we record this, give me your finals matchup. Who do you have?
Oh, it's the Knicks and the Oklahoma City Thunder, with the Knicks winning in seven games.
Wow. And Hartenstein.
I gotta just speak it into existence. I have to.
Crying his eyes out. And I'm gonna go Bulls-Kings, the storyline of, you know, LaVine and DeRozan. No, I think...
Stacey King versus the Kings.
I'm gonna go... I would love to see the Knicks get there. I don't know that I think
it's
that
tough.
They will.
It will be very, 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 very hard.
I'm going to go Celtics. I'm going to throw something wild out there. Celtics, Timberwolves.
Whoa, that's very fun. Yeah. I like this. I like this. If I was picking with purely my basketball brain and not my heart, I would go Celtics, Thunder. But
I'm not sold on the Thunder getting it done in the playoffs. I think until they get there, I'm not sold.
Yeah, my thought would be, like, I could see them struggling out the gates, and then by the time that they get to the conference finals, they're like, oh, we figured it out.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I'm thinking. But the West playoffs will be very fun, and there's a lot of drama. And speaking of drama, as we conclude Full Court Press, we will get into what we're doing for the second half of this episode, which is the WNBA Drama Draft, Horse's first ever WNBA Drama Draft. And we will be, of course, bringing in our WNBA correspondent, Jordan Robinson. Yes, as promised, we are doing the first ever, hopefully annual, WNBA Drama Draft here at Horse. Of course, we had to bring in our WNBA correspondent, Jordan Robinson. Jordan, how's it going?
It's going great. It's always fun to be here. You guys, I just want to say, you guys have been supporting me and asking me to come on this pod for years, and you are not tired of me yet, so I am so thankful.
How could we be? How could we be? No, we're glad you're not tired of us, because as you do very important WNBA things, we're like, hello, do you want to just do a silly thing real quick? So we're glad that we have not become too lo-fi, given that you co-hosted a podcast with Cheryl Swoops, so... We're glad we're not too minor league for you.
No, I love the fun. It's really nice because I get asked the same things over and over, but I have never been asked to do a drama draft. So first time for everything. I love it.
Perfect. Before we get into the drama draft, we are recording this on April 15th, which some people call tax day, but we're calling the aftermath of the WNBA draft. Do you have any just overall thoughts on particular things that happened on draft night before we get into drama drafting the teams?
It was a great draft, you know, and you can't really say that about a lot of years, or we can only say that about the first couple picks and then there's this huge drop off. But there is a lot of talent coming into the W over these next 3 years, and it just makes me want there to be more teams, more roster spots, because like I just said, I got done recording my podcast and I said, okay, new WNBA fans, you're going to get your heart broken in the next couple weeks when the names are waived and players aren't making teams and they're getting cut. So we just all have to hold hands and go through it together. But on draft night, we're all excited about the potential and what who could play with who. And it's really fun. But then it's this like walk of shame with everyone that has to leave training camps and gets waived. So I'm still in the high. I'm still in the bliss of draft day.
I just want to admit that I got, and I saw a fake tweet, I think it was from NBA Centel. I got Centel'd last night, saying that the Dallas Wings had immediately traded Paige Beckers to Los Angeles.
Oh, no.
And I was like, there's no fucking way. There's no way that happened. No. And then I saw the rest of the tweet. It was like, they traded her for Lisa Leslie, and I was like, okay.
Okay. Yeah. That would probably be the only way that they would accept that trade of going back in time and getting Lisa Leslie in her prime.
Prime Lisa. Yeah. My goodness. Yeah. It was a very fun draft, and I agree with your sentiment, given that, like, you're looking, and I'm watching the draft coverage, and there's reporting where it's, like, starting with, like, the 15th pick, they're like, well, she might not make the team, and it's like, this is pick 15, and we're worried. We're, like, not even a third of the way into the second round, and we're worried that these people are going to get cut. Like, this is so cutthroat.
Oh, it's not even, it's, I mean, once you get to pick 11. I mean, I think that's what in normal draft, you know, last year's draft, 50%, over 50% of the players that were drafted did not make a team. And that is pretty much the standard year after year. But I would say in previous years, after pick 6 in the first round, you're like, oh, I don't know. Now you have someone like Hayley Van Lith who goes 10th overall, and you're like, okay, she's for sure making that team. She might not play right away, but she's going to make the team. But yeah, getting into that second round, Godspeed.
So let's get into the drama draft. What we're going to be doing is drafting which teams we think in this upcoming WNBA season will have the most drama, whether that be on the court, off the court, whatever. There's no restrictions on the drama. Jordan, since you are a guest, we will give you the first overall pick. You're on the clock.
Oh, God.
This was hard. I had a hard time picking number one.
This is really hard. I was actually hoping I was not going number one because I didn't. It could go so many ways.
It really can.
I'm going to say that not necessarily drama on the court or in the locker room, but a team that just has drama surrounding them is the Indiana Fever. It's all drama with Caitlin Clark. You don't know what her fans are going to do. You don't know how this is going to mix with the... You know, Alyssa Thomas was the enemy last season. Now her fiance is on the team. You have Sophie Cunningham on this team. Like, there is going to be some headlines surrounding the Indiana Fever. So that is my number one pick.
I think that's a smart pick. Also, isn't it something like, is every single Fever game televised this coming season?
I think all but
38 or something?
Only a few aren't. So we're also going to have a front row seat to all of the drama all season long rather than other teams.
Yeah, that's a really good selection. They were very high in my list. Okay. But my number one that I had on my board is still available, so I will be taking them. I think, and this is purely like, you've got some characters, you got some expectations, and they made a big shakeup. I'm going to start... And Adam and I are our collective team here. We will be taking the Las Vegas Aces with the number one drama draft.
That is good. That is good.
Like, you trade away Kelsey Plum. Mm-hmm. You bring in Jewel Lloyd, who, like, I don't know that we're ever going to learn what really happened in Seattle. But, like, I'm not placing the blame, but at least, like, she was in a very contentious situation. So there's going to be expectations. And then you also just like, they have expectations of winning. Asia Wilson has expectations of being a very good player. She's got the shoe deal. Like, is she too Hollywood now? I don't think so. But like, will this be a locker room concern? I just think you've got the mix of expectations, a big shakeup. What if Kelsey Plum starts balling out in LA? Do we have regret? So that's my thought.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one. That is a good one. Okay. So who do we have? We have the Indiana Fever. We have the Las Vegas Aces. Okay. Here's what... Nah, I can't go them next. Okay. I'm going to go with the Seattle Storm.
Okay, and they were my next. Yeah.
Because of what you just said. So you have the Aces having drama because of Jewel Lloyd. And then whenever they play the Seattle Storm, it's just going to be this weird cloud of question marks because no one really knows what happened. But we know that there's beef there. So Skylar Diggins-Smith, unfortunately, I love her. Drama follows her. Girl, it's wherever you go, drama is nearby. So I'm going to go with the Seattle Storm there.
Yeah. As much as I didn't want to do it, Seattle Storm, they were number two on my board. You've got Skylar always has drama. And they're in this weird thing where they're currently trying to do the two timelines plan. And it never works. I'm so excited about the Malanga draft pick. I was very hyped for her.
You should be very excited about that.
19-year-old 6'6" French woman that can dunk. Come on.
yes. Who is friends and besties with Gabby Williams. So you know Gabby Williams and her played on the French national team. You could have a Monstars lineup. That is the positive. The negative is that Skylar Diggins-Smith is still on your team. So drama.
Correct. Ugh, gosh. Yeah. So I think there is some expectations. They've got like a mix of young people and old people. Like I like the players on the team, but I don't feel like there is a cohesive vision of like who we're focused on. Mm-hmm. And that can be scary.
Yes.
So I think that's a very good pick.
Thank you.
So for our number two pick, we're going similar to what you've done with the Fever, kind of like an all eyes on me thing. I'm going to pick the Dallas Wings. you've got Paige, but also you've got Paige.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a lot of eyes on it. And then also, in addition to that, like, they had kind of a big roster shakeup. Like, they do the Satu trade to kind of, like, clear the way. And is that going to pan out? What if she starts balling out? You know, are there going to be regrets? Is the Paige and Ogunbowale pairing going to work? I feel like it should work, but like,
but also, you don't know.
Yeah. How do you feel like their games complement each other? Like, they're both so difficult to guard that you feel like if they're on the court at the same time, at least one of them is going to be unstoppable. But like, who takes the last shot? I would assume Ogunbowale, but like,
yes,
there could be some of that drama too.
I think they pair well together because Paige can come in as a point guard. Like, Dallas has needed a point guard for years. I think Rebecca Lobo said it since Skylar Diggins-Smith left Dallas. That's how long they've kind of been feeling, trying to fill that void of who's this point guard. And Arike works best off the ball. So you have someone that can get her the passes, that can give those assists. But then also, if Arike gets double teamed, Paige can knock down the shot. So it makes it really hard to guard, especially when you have a Tierra McCowan inside who's going to clean up all those boards, and they can also feed inside. So it should work. The drama part that I think you missed is that Dejanay Carrington and Nalissa Smith are a couple on this team. If something is off in their relationship, if they have a bad argument, you're going to have to deal with that on the court. You're going to have to deal with that during a normal, regular WNBA season. So that's the drama that I will be watching for.
This is one of those things where, like, until there are openly out NBA players, the NBA will never match the potential drama that exists within the WNBA. It's not possible.
These teammates could kiss on the court. They could be holding over an argument about who loaded the dishwasher wrong on the court. Like, anything is in play. Do you know offhand how many teams have couples? Because you've got the Wings and then the Fever, right?
Well, the Fever, Dawana Bonner and Alyssa Thomas. So Alyssa Thomas is in Phoenix, but you have New York, which transitions into my next pick. I have the Liberty next up because Natasha Cloud and Izzy Harrison are a couple. They are both on the Liberty, but that actually wasn't my drama part. I did a live draft reaction with Natasha Cloud last night on the Bleacher Report app. And
so cool.
It was so fun. She's hilarious. We were just chatting for 2 hours. But she is so mad that she got traded from the Phoenix Mercury. She said, "I cannot wait to play Phoenix." And she wants all of the smoke. She wants to give them 40 points. She wants to bury them. And that just makes for great drama. Like, that is a TV show I would watch on repeat, of her going against Phoenix. She doesn't hate the Connecticut Sun that she was traded to. They worked with her to get this trade to New York for over a month. So she was like, "Love you guys. Thanks for getting me out of there. You knew, understood my situation. But Phoenix, I'm coming for you." And that's the drama. So that's why I go Liberty, not because I think the locker room is going to have any issues. That is a solid locker room. They could very much be in the finals again. And I mean, if everybody stays healthy, if it goes well, it's really their finals to lose. But this whole storyline of Natasha Cloud versus Phoenix, popcorn. Like, it's drama.
That's good. I had missed the bitterness from her there. I had just seen how happy she was to be with the Liberty. Like, obviously, like, you got to love to be on the championship team playing in New York. They have the good facilities and ownership that cares. But ooh, we love revenge games. We love revenge games.
Tour. I said it. She said, "Oh yeah, clock it. I am on a revenge tour." So that makes it fun. Mm. That's just extra.
Imagine being the GM who has to break up a couple via trade.
Well, a little history for you. This has happened before in Connecticut Sun, where it was a couple and it went south, and a player forced a trade. She demanded to get out of a team because the couple's relationship went south. So it could happen again. It could happen again.
Is this public knowledge or is this like insider info?
I believe it's public knowledge. Yeah. Yeah.
Man, this, Adam's right. You'll never get this in the NBA. You'll never get this. I hope we do. I would love it if we do, but come on.
The closest we have is LeBron and Delonte West 20 years ago. We'll table that for now. We'll leave that.
Yeah. For our third pick, we'll be picking a team that had high expectations, and they came so close, and if they don't make it happen this season, might be some drama abound. Gonna go with the Minnesota Lynx.
Yeah, good pick. Good pick.
They were just inches away, and depending on what team you root for, bad calls away from winning the WNBA championship. And I think that of course comes with drama, but here's my like sneaky drama. With Unrivaled in the offseason being run by Nafisa Collier, and then also like she's running the league and she wins the one-on-one tournament. She's running the league and she wins MVP. Like, I wonder if there's anyone that's like a little mad that she's given herself pay raises and awards and all this kind of stuff. I don't think anything nefarious actually happened. Like, she balled out in Unrivaled, but
can't spell nefarious without Nafisa.
That's true.
This is true.
Don't check all the letters, but it's close.
I think it's pretty close.
Nefarious with a PH.
Yeah, with an F. So. With an F.
Wait, that's but so good. I didn't think about other people just being upset of like, well, here's the thing. She created a league where she would thrive. The whole league is set up for her to succeed. I think other players should have been like, actually, are you even considering our skill set? She's like, no, this fits me perfectly.
If you don't like it, make your own league.
Yeah.
How about
Steph Curry presents the half court shots only league.
Exactly. No, I love this pick. And I also love that Cheryl Reeve, after draft night, she said something incredible. She said, you know, how do you feel about Paige Bueckers coming back to Minnesota? You know, the crowd is going to be crazy for her whenever she comes back. And she said, you know, I love this for the state. One of the best players since Lindsey Whalen to come out of the state. But I hope her hate for the Minnesota Lynx begins with this season. Like, she's a fan of the Lynx. You know, she's talked about growing up Paige with the dynasty, but she's like, I want her to hate playing here. I don't want it to be this homecoming, nice, flowery thing. So there could also be some drama with that as well.
Coach with some good quotes. She was firing off fire after the finals that she thought was stolen from them. So
yeah, them versus the refs. Look, that's the drama enough. They're going to be blocking who is on the reffing call for all of their games. And that's going to be insane.
Yeah. And then you also, like, you've got Courtney Williams on the roster. But more importantly, Courtney Williams' dad is on the roster.
Yes.
So, like, drama is always, always in play with the Lynx.
Yes. Yes. Okay, who's left? I think I am going to go with the Chicago Sky.
Ooh.
I'm going to go with them next because talk about drama. All caps. What they did to Teaspoon last season and only giving her 1 year for a head coach and then firing her in a weird, sloppy way that really turned off free agents from wanting to go there. Everyone had Teaspoon's back. Now they come in with a new coach and Tyler Marsh, who I think he's going to be great. Just poor timing. You know, why everyone's still mad about the Teaspoon situation. There was drama there with Kennedy Carter. Now she's not going back to Chicago, even though everybody feels like she had a great fit with that roster. There's going to be storylines with Angel Reese always, but Angel Reese, Haley Van Lith being reunited from their LSU days, is that going to be great or is that going to be not so great? Is there a reason why Haley Van Lith left LSU? So there's going to be some storylines there that I think is super interesting.
Yeah, no, I think it's valid. I think it's going to be good. Adam, are you upset that your hometown team has been selected?
No, I mean, they're kind of in the middle of the pack here, and I feel like the Bulls are always fairly high in terms of drama, rightfully so. So, no, I think that's valid. And I also think that, like, Angel Reese's name was in the news a lot when she was talking about, like, the contract situation and, like, hey, you know, we'll hold out and we won't play if we don't get what we deserve, which, like, I'm for all of that, but it's still like being in the public discourse. And I think that like whether she and Caitlin Clark want to have anything to do with this. People want to keep pushing that narrative of that matchup and, you know, every time they face each other. And, you know, if that helps ratings, so be it. But like,
oh my God.
It's old news, but it's still in the zeitgeist. So like, there's drama with that too.
To your point, Adam, the WNBA created Rivalry Week, mm-hmm. which is completely made up and yeah. is only to put the Indiana Fever and Chicago Sky against each other. They put the Valkyries in that week. They don't have a rival yet. They're a new team.
Are they, the only thing is, are they playing the Sparks? Because then they could say California versus California?
I don't even
know.
Super
weird. But you're still like forcing it.
It is a reach on everyone. I think they put the Fever in Chicago, and then they put, I believe, New York and Minnesota just from the rematch of the finals last year.
Sure.
But yeah. it was like, how can we mask this? Because we want to make this a big deal and keep pushing this narrative. So we're just going to make up other rivalries, and we're going to make up this as a rivalry as well, because it's not even really. Yes. So you're right. That is another reason why they are going to be in the drama.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the NBA does this with Rivalry Week because they've done it for a couple of years, and like there are some legitimate ones, and then every now and then they're like, all right, everybody get geared up for Kings Wizards. Like, oh yeah, they really hate each other. All right, for our fourth pick, it's a team that we were just recently alluding to, be selecting the Los Angeles Sparks. Not necessarily as high with drama, but you've got Kelsey Plum in there, and the thought is like she's going to come in and kind of lead the team. If that doesn't go well off the jump, could have some drama. And I feel like now that they have gotten, you know, they'll have a healthy Cameron Brink and they've got new draft picks. Like, I just feel like they're going to be in this situation where last year everyone was like, okay, you know, injuries, new folks, young people, we don't got to worry about it. This season, especially after the Kelsey Plum trade, I feel like they're going to be itching to be not in the doldrums of the league. As a Seattle Storm fan, I hope they fail and I hope they lose every single game so that the draft pick we get from them next season
I kind of think that it could really work out well. The corollary is like Chris Paul going to the Spurs to help like play with and nurture Wemby, like the Kelsey Plum Cameron Brink dynamic, I think, could be really fun. And most importantly, hopefully, Cameron Brink is like 100% healthy and is able to play a full season.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I heard she's expected to come back in June before the All-Star break, so which is still amazing timing. And hopefully she's 100%. I agree with this, but I think the drama is going to come elsewhere. I think the drama is going to come from the front office because Irving Magic Johnson gave us the kiss of death, and he said, I'm going to be more involved.
I didn't hear him say this. Oh,
that
no.
That is not good.
Oh, that's very bad.
And then he tweeted, the WNBA is a league in which women play basketball.
Yeah.
The W in WNBA stands for women.
The Sparks are not great in the front office department as it is. And I think Magic saying, move over, people, I'm coming in. I don't think they did well with their draft picks. I don't understand them. I think they got Sarah Ashley Barker, who I guess could play behind Plum, but they really needed more of a point guard position. And then they get Saniya Fagan, who I guess could be a backup to Cameron Brink and Rekia. I just didn't really understand it. And that to me was, it was Magic Johnson in the war room and he was doing this. So there's going to be some drama there. I think that there's going to be some disgruntledness there. My poor Spark. It's not. I actually should have put them higher. Now I'm getting mad. Oh my gosh. Okay, my next pick. I'm going to go with the Connecticut Sun.
Ooh, okay.
And again, this probably could have been higher for the drama. If you guys don't know, Marina Mabry demanded a trade out of Dallas to go to the Connecticut Sun. And it was great because DeJuana Bonner was there, Alyssa Thomas, Bree Jones, Dejanay Carrington, and she just like fit right in. And then everybody left. And now she is there by herself. Yeah. And she has demanded a trade. And the Sun was like, no, you're literally
She's the Fresh Prince
player.
Meme of just looking around the apartment.
Exactly.
Is it true that all five of their starters from last year are on different teams now?
Yes. Yes.
That's wild.
Everybody is out. They changed their coach. Stephanie White left and everybody dispersed. And so Marina Mabry told her agent, like, get me out of here. I know I demanded to come here, but now I want out. And they denied her trade requests. So there's going to be this interesting dynamic and drama of, do you still go out there and play for a team that you don't want to be on and they know that you don't want to be here? Are you just like, I don't know, throwing up air balls and like giving the ball to the other team and purposely trying to lose games? Or do you still have some effort and play hard? So that's going to be super interesting on how that drama unfolds.
Yeah. I would hope she uses it as like a rolling audition for every other team. And she's just like, let me just ball out and make someone want to trade for me.
Yeah. Well, it was rumored that Seattle Storm might give up their second pick for Marina. I'm so glad they didn't do that. But
I'm glad we didn't either. I'm so hyped for Malaga. Yeah, I think she's going to be really good. Yeah, that would have been tough. Okay. Our next selection, our fifth pick, will be the Phoenix Mercury. Mm-hmm. I feel like not as much drama, because now we're getting to the lower tiers. I feel like not as much drama because the expectations aren't really there. DT retires. They do a bunch of trades. Like, it's kind of like they're doing this new reshuffling of, we got to kind of readjust and see if we have a new direction with like a younger core. So maybe I'm misguided here, but I feel like the fan base will be patient. I feel like if they get off to a struggling start, people might be like, okay, like it's all new folks. Like, let's give it some time. But that being said, they still did make like a bunch of moves. So there is still always the chance for chaos. They've got some people who I think are going to be very good, but it's just like, do they all combine? Yeah. And do they all gel together? And, you know, they're making the trades with Dallas and the Sun and all this stuff. So I just think they're higher than some of the other teams I had here just because like so many new people. Mm-hmm. And does it work? You can never really tell.
Yeah. That's so true. It's a big question mark. It could go really great or it could go really bad. Like, I think it could go either way. Last season, they were in the middle. They were 50-50. One game, they would play amazing. Kalia Copper has like 5 30-point games in the month of June. And then the next month, they are losing. And you're just like, wait, why? Nothing changed. Mm-hmm. Everyone's healthy. What happened? So they need to either be one or the other. I think that's going to help them this season. Is Satu going to be able to find her shots with Ka? And Alyssa Thomas is just going to be there for cleanup crew. And yeah, the X factor is without Brittany Griner and Diana Taurasi for the first time since 2001. That's the last time that they've not had either of those players. So they're trying to figure out themselves as a fan base. Who are we latching on to in this whole new era of Phoenix Mercury basketball? So I like that. I like that pick.
Well, we're down to it here. The only remaining teams, according to my notes, are the Atlanta Dream, the Washington Mystics, and the Golden State Valkyries.
Okay. Correct.
The final three. The who do we think is slightly more dramatic than the undramatics?
I think I'm going to go with the Golden State Valkyries.
They were next on our board.
Yeah, just because it is a brand new expansion team. And I would love, and I hope someone is doing this. I want to film the entire season. I want to film the front office just being like,
they have to be doing it. Come on. It'd be such a good documentary.
Such a good documentary. Because there is so much newness that is going into here. They also have 10 international players, the most of any team. And they have, it seems purposeful. Like, they went international heavy because of the experience that international players have over rookies. They did not do well in free agency. I thought they were going to get some people, but a lot of the superstars were cored and they didn't have any trade pieces to trade for those core players.
Core, for anyone listening and confused, that's like you basically have to do a sign and trade to get someone.
Yes.
You can't just free agency sign them.
It's like a franchise tag, essentially.
Yeah.
Like,
the team says like, no, protect them.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. We're getting some back for this superstar. So, yeah, I'm going Valkyries because something could happen. Something could happen. And you know that they're going to lose, unfortunately. Yeah. Like, expansion teams are always bad. So it's going to be some drama when you lose 12 games straight.
Yeah. Hopefully the excitement of just having a team will make up for the fact that they're inevitably going to be crappy, but
yeah. Yeah. Great fan base already.
Yeah. Good fan base, good uniforms, good logo, good color scheme. Like the basketball might look bad, but they'll look good while they're doing it.
They'll look good while playing bad. That's not a bad approach.
Okay. So we're down to the final two. On our board, we have this team higher, mainly just because I think the other team will be so undramatic. Like the first thing I did when I was making my list was like, put these people at the bottom. So I will not be picking the Washington Mystics. I will be instead picking the Atlanta Dream.
Okay.
Just because, like, I don't know. I think they're similar to some of these other teams you've talked about. That just, like, the free agency wasn't, like, enamoring. The draft wasn't enamoring. Last year, they
Brittany Griner feels more like a try to sell some tickets and have a name people recognize move.
100%. And, like, last year it was, like, they made the playoffs, right? They like barely squeaked in, but like didn't really want to make the playoffs, right?
They're like their NBA counterparts. They're like perpetually mid.
Yeah, they were. Yeah. It got bad at times last season, though. It was like, turn off the TV. This is bad basketball. But yes.
Right.
Yeah.
I like this pick. Also, very unproblematic because Brittany Griner signing in free agency. Her and Ryan are already doing TikToks together. Ryan Howard and Alisha Gray are like best friends. So the vibes are up on this team.
I think it was a thing of like good vibes, low expectations equals no drama.
Yes. Yes.
And also they've been bad for a couple of seasons. So like even if they are bad, it wouldn't be like surprising bad.
Right.
And the fans would be like, oh right, we suck.
Yeah.
Yes, that is true. Also a new coach, which I don't know a lot about. Carl Smesko coming over from Florida Gulf Coast. He could be amazing. He could just be like, hey, Ryan Howard, run the team. Go do whatever you want, which would be a great coaching advice. So, again, unproblematic. Famous last words.
Yeah. Well, Jordan, by default, you have chosen the Washington Mystics as your last pick.
I have chosen the Washington Mystics, not because they were the last pick, but I feel like they deserve to be at the bottom anyway. I am so excited about this rookie class. I love Aaliyah Edwards and her growth and unrivaled. Shakira Austin is healthy. She's BFFs with Slim, aka Brittany Sykes. I think this team is in a really good spot where even I interviewed Shakira Austin last season and they had an 0-12 start. And she was like, the vibes are great, though. Like, our record does not indicate, you know, we're not going after each other in the locker room. Like, we are still together. And I have held on to that because it's so easy to guess from the outside. Like, oh, my God, what's going wrong in that? You know, if you are starting 0-12, you have to be cussing each other out. Like, I think I would be. But she's like, no, we were in 90% of those games. We were injured. Other teams were just better. Like, we're not bad. And they were able to add rookie pieces to make them better. Plus, they're healthy. Plus, they have a new GM, new coach. Elena Deladon is retired, but we saw her in the war room with the Washington Mystics polo on. Is she a part of the coaching staff? That would be amazing. So, Washington Mystics, please just wear a little halo and be so cute and unproblematic. That's okay.
Yeah. I think you've summed it up perfectly. They, I think, kind of like hit the tanking thing perfectly in that now with trades and moves and losing basketball games in this draft, they had the number 3 pick, the number 4 pick, and the number 6 pick in what has been claimed to be a very stacked draft. Mm-hmm. So if you have half of the top 6 on your team, should
good.
Be a good position.
Should be pretty good. Yes.
So I could see a world in which, like, this kind of feels like the Wings a couple years ago, like when the Wings had, like, all these picks and it was like, okay, like, they're bad, but, like, they're going to be good in a couple years. I think, like, you want to buy in on Mystic stock, like, get now. In
yeah,
now.
I agree.
Because I think 5 years from now, we'll be like, how did they do it? And it's, they've seemingly nailed it.
Yes. I agree.
Well, speaking of nailed it, I think we nailed it with this drama draft, Jordan. This was so fun. I'm very proud of us. Thank you again for taking the time. If people want to find you doing stuff, you are super busy. You're doing stuff all over the place, but shout it out. What do you got going on?
Oh my gosh. So many exciting things. I'm so excited for the WNBA season. You can listen to my podcast, The Women's Hoop Show, formerly called Queens of the Court. Same feed, same peeps. It's going to be great. You can find me on Instagram at Jordan Liggins and on TikTok at Hey Jordan Robinson.
Perfect.
Well, amazing.
Jordan, thank you again. Really appreciate it. And here's hoping that we have a very fun WNBA season, maybe with just a little bit of spice.
Just a little bit of spice. It wouldn't be a WNBA season without some
I want
drama.
A breakup on the court. That's what I want this season.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. No.
Just once. Just once.
Or a new relationship forming on the court, that right? You win a playoff game.
We do.
You get all
that.
The emotion. Ooh. Like, come on.
Okay, now you got
Let's
me thinking
for love.
Some matchmaking ooh, on some ooh. Of these teams. Oh my gosh, this can either go so well, just so bad. I'm just thinking of all the drama that could happen.
Oh, it's gonna be fun.
Thank you guys, all as right. always, for having me.
Thank you so
me
much.
On.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to this episode of War Sources, hosted by Adam Amwala and Mike Schubert. Our editor is Kensei Suramaki. The music is by Bettina Campomanes. The art is by Allison Wakeman. The website is by Kelly Schubert. And the social media is by both of the Horse Boys.
Thank you to our producer-level patrons, Polly Bird, Salvatore Testa, Siobhan Ellsbury, Doka Chasing Taco Falls, Bang Bang, Roast Beef Debris, Denver Steam Nuggets, Anna Reed, Steph Curry for three in the play-in.
Bang.
Hi, Allie. Chase Underulo, Naked Rachel, Sidney Crosby as a vampire, Chelsea's cousin, Ginger Spurs boy, Balls to the Walls, Mats Furli, and Utah Jash. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Horse Hoops and on Twitter at Horse_Hoops because...
Oh, they instigated a breakup between a WNBA couple on the court and we found out, so we had to get rid of the account.
Spicy, spicy, spicy. You can go to our website, horsehoops.com, for links to the many things we talked about today, including some fun draft analysis and other such things.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to support the Horse Boys, you can go to our Patreon, patreon.com/horsehoops, get a bunch of bonus content. I'm putting up an audio thing where I talked about Carmelo Anthony making the Hall of Fame because I knew we weren't going to get it into this episode, but I still had thoughts. And then you can also go to horsehoops.com/merch and you can get Sup Nerds with basketball shirts and digital items and stuff there. So we're going to put our hands in the middle, say something on the count of three, as we always do. What are we thinking? We could do something about WNBA. We could do something about the playoffs starting for the NBA. Lots of options.
Yeah. I feel like we're going to have plenty of time for WNBA content. So let's, mm-hmm. as we get started, you know what? Let's be nice to each other. And it's actually sincere.
Yeah.
You know, go Knicks, go Bulls. Like you say, go Bulls on three.
And
I
you say, go Knicks.
Knicks.
That's perfect. I love us doing this.
As we started our NBA season, let's do it again. It would really be fun to see the Bulls in the playoffs. Like, they're going to lose in the first round, but like, let's get that.
Let's get there.
Into,
all right.
Existence.
So I say go Bulls, you say go Knicks on three?
Yeah.
One, two, three. Go Bulls!
Go Knicks! I'm surprised I didn't explode when I said that, but I really meant it. I'm rooting for
you. And I did too, and I'm in Chicago as I say it, so I feel good.
There you go.